So good morning, my friends.
Good morning, Rebecca.
It's so wonderful to be here with you. You look beautiful. And we are so happy that you chose to come today, despite the weird weather. But we got up and saw the sunshine, and I am so grateful. Thank you, Iota Lane and Unique, for that righteous
song.
And one of those lyrics just sang right into my heart today. Facing the rising sun of a new day begun, let us march on till our victory is won. Words to live by today, I would say. Now, this has been one strange trip of a week. Just like Kathy reminded us, it's been here and there and all over the place. And if your emotions are feeling a little bit like a pinball machine, I'm right there with you. My hope for our time together this morning is that we can put our spiritual arms around each other and take a deep breath and come back to our center. I believe that each one of us is here this morning by divine appointment in search of love. No matter what fear or confusion or anger may seem to be masking it from us at this moment, we're here to know the truth. And I want us to know our affirmation one more time this morning. You did a great job early on, but one more time just to get into our brain. God loves through me. I am God's love expression. Together.
God loves through me. I am God's love expression.
So this morning our topic is greater love and was inspired by a frequently quoted scripture, John chapter 15, verse 13. Greater love hath no man than to lay down his life for his friends. Now, John is called the apostle of love, and it's reported that he and Jesus loved each other dearly. He was one of Jesus' closest friends, one of the big three, the mighty trio of Peter, James, and John. In this verse, Jesus is speaking about his willingness to die for his apostles, his most intimate family and friends. Now, in the aftermath of last week's tragedy in Florida, this may seem like a really difficult choice for spiritual reflection today. At first glance, it might conjure up some of the traumatic scenes that we watched last week from the school in Florida. In the media, a lot of us witnessed in real time the bravery of school staff and law enforcement and students, showing us the most lion-hearted version of love, offering the ultimate sacrifice for those people they loved and cared for. But I'm going to ask all of us to take another big, deep breath right now and make the choice to step apart from the sadness and the upset of this week, even if it's just for the next 20 minutes or so, and embrace a higher vibration to focus on love and expression. If you feel you make a lost track of God's love this week, I want us to get into our spiritual toolboxes and get some reminders. Metaphysically, love is defined as the pure essence of God that binds together the whole human family. That's our sense of oneness. Or as Eckhart Tolle says, to love is to recognize yourself in another. Or as Eric Butterworth would surely remind us, Namaskar, I am the Christ in you. Jesus, in his definition of greater love, charges each one of us to love one another as he loved us, saying, and by this you will be known as my disciples, the most beloved. Being disciples of love, yes, can mean laying our lives down for each other. But what can that mean outside of life or death emergency? When, thank God, most days we are not called to throw ourselves into harm's way. Not to trivialize at all the events of the past week or this powerful scripture for heroic sacrifice. I want us to look at ways that we might offer our lives of love to the world in smaller, persistent, but no less powerful ways. Now, we may have to make a few adjustments along the way in our thinking. We may have to work on a few things like forgiveness or setting aside our personal priorities or even mindfully putting down those routine diversions that distract us from living and loving in this moment. My guess is you're already radiating greater love and expression this morning, making lots of sacrifices every day to radiate love, even if you're not aware of it. One way I know that this community shows its love and support is how we support our church home here. Your love and commitment is unmistakable in the way that you greet each other every week, the love fest down here. You can't miss it. The way that you step up to volunteer, the way that you give so generously your time and talent and treasure. We love this place as much as we all do. Another way I know this is that in the uniqueness of how we live together as New Yorkers. Our founding minister, Reverend Paul Tenanti, used to remind us that living in New York City required a spiritual PhD, and I certainly agree with that. Just getting out the door every day and making it to our destination requires, at the very least, a lot of patience with our fellow neighbors. This morning, if we're really being love and expression, I think it has to go a little further than just tolerance for each other. And I want us to consider how laying down our lives for our friends could mean something as simple as putting down our cell phones to concentrate on one moment with another human. Your spouse, your child, your coworker, that moment, that fleeting moment to be fully present with them. That moment that we can no longer take for granted to just happen every single day. Just consider how the daily practice of God's love and expression could impact our world far beyond our imagining. Could greater love really be as simple as stopping to say thank you to the bus driver in the morning? Or looking directly into the eyes of the street person who may need your full attention far more than the dollar that she's asking for. Putting our own personal interests aside to show up as the love of God does not need to be relegated just to emergencies. A few weeks ago, a story caught my attention in the news, an announcement that the British Prime Minister Theresa May had recently appointed a minister for loneliness in the United Kingdom. It seems that 9 million people in the UK have reported they often or always felt lonely. So a ministry was launched to address the loneliness endured by the elderly, by caregivers, and those who've lost loved ones, people who have no one to talk to or share their thoughts with. But this statistic really brought me up short. Government research has found that about 200,000 older people in Britain had not had a conversation with a friend or a family member in more than a month.
Oh, wow.
That was amazing to me. So sad. Could that be comparable in America? And we're not just talking about elders here, because everyone in this room, young and old, knows that loneliness does not discriminate. It's so ironic that we live in the most technologically connected age in the history of civilization, yet rates of loneliness have doubled since 1980. Today, over 40% of adults in America report feeling lonely, and research suggests that the real number may be even higher. Now, psychologists tell us that face-to-face direct human contact is imperative for our well-being. It produces neurotransmitters in our brain that act like natural vaccines against illness. Making eye contact, shaking hands, giving somebody a high five releases oxytocin and increases our levels of trust and lowers our stress hormones. Face-to-face contact has vastly positive results for our health, yet so many in our population say they have no one. So at first glance, social isolation and loneliness might appear to be the same thing. But social isolation is where a person literally doesn't have enough people to interact with. For an older adult, this could be happen after a move to a different location, maybe downsizing. Maybe they have encountered a new language barrier or physical limitations, the diminishing of our hearing or our sight. Even as younger persons here in the city, I think social isolation would be very easy to slip into. Some of us have even been drawn to live in New York City because of the anonymity, where we can choose to be complete loners if we want to. This is an easy place to get lost in. But thank goodness combating isolation is a special natural role for spiritual communities. Right here at Unity, I think we have a group for just about everybody, adults and kids and gay men, seniors, all providing opportunities as individuals to come together for deeper connection. Our prayer chaplain and our Unity Care programs offer prayer and extra support. And I relentlessly encourage everybody in our community to find a prayer partner. Somebody who will commit to pray affirmative with you maybe once or twice a week, to know the truth for each other, to help us feel recognized and loved, and remember that our lives are always filled with divine purpose and possibilities. But loneliness requires a little different take. Loneliness is personal. It's our experience of distress over not having enough contact with people. So what causes loneliness? One theory is that loneliness comes about because of, this is a big word, maladaptive thoughts about oneself and others. People who are lonely are more likely to believe that other people will reject them, and they have feelings of low self-worth. Limited thinking, or error thinking, I call it. One of my favorite maladaptive thoughts might include, as an older adult, you know, I guess I'm just too old to go on that big trip now. I know, I've not quite enough energy to go out and turn it on and make new friends. I mean, come on, who in the world is going to want to hang out with me? Well now, if Unity co-founder Myrna Fillmore were here this morning, she would read me the right of that. In Human Letters, Myrna writes, years have no power to take the life that which God has ordained shall be enduring, eternal life. She goes on to say the age belief says that at a certain time the body begins to grow a little slower and be less alive. The cell structures respond to this error belief and the body slows down and suffers from pain. But all this is mental. Then there is a physical cause of age. Someone who does not understand that the body requires daily care often fails to do that which is truly best for the body. If you are in a happy state of mind, doing a reasonable amount of work that you love, and eating the foods that are best for you to eat, healing will come through the right attitude. Now, this is such pure Myrna Fillmore. She says, get right down into the body and tell it the truth. Then follow up daily with sensible and scientific living habits. Amen. A modern attitude articulated so perfectly all the way back in 1936. Now, apart from changing our thinking and taking better care of ourselves, there are a lot of other creative interventions for loneliness that we can explore. Help is all around us if we can just reach out for it. Now, maybe everybody here this morning is a perfect sunbeam of love and connection. We're asking us to make feel a little lonely or left out today. Here's a couple of real-world practical ideas that are suitable for all ages and lifestyles. Number one, have a plan. In everyone's life, there are going to be times that we're going to feel more lonely than others. The first Christmas after my mom died, I knew it was going to be a rough go unless I prepared and started some of my own holiday traditions that I could observe. Now, I admit I got a little crazy and went over into Martha Stewart land a little bit. Structured plans for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day really got me through it. Are weekends lonesome for you? Well, you've already made a tremendous step today. You're here. You put on your coat and you got out and came over. You made it. And now you can go downstairs after service and get some prayer with the chaplain and maybe wander across the street and pick up on brunch with some people over at the diner. If nights are a challenge, what about a class? Spring is coming, getting lighter, longer in the day. We can always give Silent Unity a call. Do a little research and find out about local classes and lectures that are coming up. A lot of them are free in the city. Then team up with some buddies and make a party. Number two, you don't have to have someone else to do something fun. Back in the day, I remember when it was not cool to go to the movies or a concert by yourself. But come on now, most of us here are a little older than 15. When we think, you know, people are going to see us all by ourselves and think we're so pathetic. Ladies and gentlemen, doing things alone means that we are empowered, independent, and free to do just what pleases us.
Yeah.
You might start up a conversation with a total stranger at that library book group or during that intermission, and a brand new friend might be sitting right beside you. Number three, volunteer. What lights you up? As Mary Oliver writes so perfectly, what are you doing with your precious life today? It's hard to feel lonely when you're showing kindness towards someone. Rather than focusing on how many people aren't there for me, perhaps you can be there for someone else. Just think about the people in your life right now who could use a little encouragement or attention. Could you take a little time to let them know that they matter to you and you're thinking about them? Pick up the phone. Write a little note. Put it in the mail. Keep your eyes and your heart open and be ready to spread some love around. Our loving actions are a blessing to others. A smile, a kind word, a hug, small things at first glance. All are ways we give love to others and receive so much in return. In this challenging time in our beloved country, who knows what life you might alter just by reaching out to speak to another person. If you've never had a moment of loneliness or isolation, God bless you. But if you remember what it felt like to be the last kid picked for the ball game every single time, or you lost a parent or a sibling as a youngster, or just feel a little out of contact with them, don't hesitate. Put down whatever is distracting you from being love and seeking love. We are God's love and expression, and this is no time to forget it. I want to wrap up our time this morning with a little story I saw on Facebook that just lit up my heart. It's about a 96-year-old gentleman named Harvey who lives in Plymouth, Minnesota. Harvey's been walking in his neighborhood a couple times a day for the last 60 years or so. Now, in the last couple of years, Harvey has found he needs to stop and rest a little more frequently during his walk. And one day, one of his neighbors noticed that Harvey was lingering for a while in front of his driveway. And he realized that Harvey might appreciate a place to sit down as he caught his breath along the route. So this neighbor began putting out a chair at the curb each day. Once in a while, as Harvey rested, the neighbor would come out and say hi. They would pass the time of day, and Harvey would continue on. Well, I was thrilled to read that now there are 9 chairs. More and more neighbors are coming out to say hello, and now his walk really takes a long time. These inspired rest stops have opened him up and his community to some great new connections and special ways to share greater love. So in these remaining days of love, in this month of love, I encourage each one of us to look for examples of love and appreciate it in your world. As we observe our fellow beings every day, notice strangers holding doors for each other, parents hugging their kids when they jump off the swing set at the park, store clerks making friendly conversation in the checkout line. As we focus our awareness and let the power of love lead us, it is impossible for the sweetness of life and goodness not to grow. But for our love and expression to cover our world. All lives are transformed by love. God loves through us. We are God's love and expression. And so it is. Let's take this next moment to release a long, slow breath. Feel the chair supporting you as the quiet of this sacred place eases into your consciousness. We feel our hearts opening wide this morning to the cleansing wave of love. In the far corners of our hearts, there may be shadows of loneliness or sadness, but now we choose boldly to bring the light of love to dissipate them. Let love shine brightly in your heart today, like a flame, and feel its warmth radiating through your body. Imagine powerful rays of love moving up and through the top of your head, out of the tips of your fingers and tiny toes. Collectively, we radiate such warmth and light and love in this space. We see it moving from every heart to the ceiling and out the door and into our city and out to cover and ease our world. We go deeper into our heart space and call to mind the face of a special loved one, a partner, a friend, a loved person, a family member, a pet, maybe your special talent or creativity, or all the ways that we see God's love and expression. Bring them closer now. Let this beautiful image as we allow this expression of love to bless and calm us, we see and affirm new wisdom and discernment unfolding as to the next important actions we must choose as individuals and as a nation. And now we hold our leaders here at home and around the world into this powerful circle of love and wisdom, affirming the truth that there is only one power and one presence in the universe and in our lives, God, the good. All things work together for good. As we see all through the eyes of love, and we move into our time of silence. We are God's love in expression, in the silence.
As we draw strength from spirit within, we are assured and eased, and begin our gentle return to this space and time, restored to an equilibrium of spirit by the power of greater love within. We become aware of those around us now, and we send out a shared blessing and prayer for everyone, our beloved children, our family and friends, our colleagues, and our spiritual community, as we are all called to be disciples of love today. We are filled with the patience and courage now to seek out connection with the lonely and the loving among us, and always strive to see the Christ within. And so it is. Amen.